Happy Sabbath, church.
Happy Sabbath.
You know, we always have a practice. We say, when I say, "Womnandi kuba lapha," the response is, "It's good to be here." Okay? So if I say, "Womnandi kuba lapha," the church responds,
"It's good to be here."
And we're going to try this again. "Womnandi kuba lapha, David." There we go. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we have to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I am so happy that we can reconnect. How many of us believe that God has all called us for missions? There we go. God has called each and every one of us in the church here today. And guess what? The Bible says many are called, but a few are chosen, because that few allow themselves to be chosen. My prayer is that as we continue to seek God's face, that we will walk in the light that He wants for us to walk in. Our focus this morning is stemming from the book of Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 through 20. And our title is Melchizedek's Table. Melchizedek's Table. I do not like the fact that my wife could not join us today. Our little one has not been doing too good. In fact, he's had a cough and a cold in him. And the mission still has to continue. So in our conversations last night, my wife was like, "I will stay behind with him." And you know, when I sit here and I look at the blessings that God has bestowed upon my life, there is no how I can do the work that I am doing without my wife. There is no how we can reach out to the people who God has called us to reach out to without her support and her being my partner. And so I want to really just thank God for godly women. I want to thank God for all the women in this house and all the mothers in this house. May God bless you and bless you all abundantly. Please know that the work that you carry out does not go unnoticed. It is a very important work, especially when it comes to preparing these young ones for the kingdom of God. Let's pray before we delve into our message. It is just proper that we pray. Father in heaven, we ask right now that may you speak to your children, Father. Lord, I pray and I ask that may I decrease and may you increase, Father. After all is said and done, may all glory and honor go unto thee. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. May the church 14 verse 8 say amen. We are looking at the book of Genesis chapter 14 verse 18 through 20. I'm going to read it in your hearing. My Bible says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he gave him a tithe of all." May the Lord not only add a rich blessing to the hearing and the reading of his word, but to the doing of his word. You know, I asked myself a question. How many of us, not just young people, but how many of us as adults, how many of us out there in TV land understand the importance of communion? Why do we partake of communion? Why is foot washing so important? You know, I want to point that before the cross, before the nails, before the empty tomb, Jesus gave his disciples two ordinances. And these ordinances were, number one, the washing of feet. And the second was the breaking of bread with the cup. One is about humility and cleansing, and the other is about remembrance and proclamation. So together they form a complete picture of the Christian's lifestyle. A Christian is supposed to be humble. A Christian is supposed to be not just humble, but a Christian is supposed to be a servant who has been washed by grace, who is living in fellowship, and who is proclaiming the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why is our communion crucial? Why is it important? We talk about the foot washing. Why is it necessary? You know, along the way, I asked my daughter a question, and this was a test. I asked her, I said, "Baby, would you wash Dad's feet?" And she looked at me, and she said, "No." I don't blame her. I don't blame her. You see, I can imagine if she can't wash my feet, what more the feet of a stranger? This is why it's important for us to educate our children and educate our families why we partake of foot washing. In fact, when we go to the book of John, in the book of John chapter 13, Jesus takes the role of the lowest servant. If you remember, Peter resisted when Jesus wanted to wash his feet. And he says, "Lord, you shall never wash my feet." But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So in other words, foot washing is not just about a physical cleansing, but it's about a spiritual cleansing. Foot washing is crucial because Jesus wants to wash away what? Our pride. Jesus wants to wash away the grudges that we are holding on to. Jesus wants to do what? Wash away our secret sins. Foot washing is important because to humble us. To understand a Christian's walk, we need to humble ourselves and forgive one another. Foot washing prepares our hearts for the table. Foot washing prepares our hearts, and without foot washing, we cannot receive the bread and the cup rightly if we have not first bowed in humility and forgiveness. This is why, as we go through this service, I want you to do an evaluation of your life. I want you to search deep, and if there's something that you are holding on to, ask God to take it away. What about the bread? The bread represents his body that has been broken for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24. "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In Genesis, if you remember, mankind fell. Mankind fell because they disobeyed God. God gave Adam and Eve specific instructions. Do not touch the fruit of what? Knowledge of good and evil. And because man wanted to do their own thing, Adam and Eve decided to do what? Partake of that fruit. Notice what happens when Eve takes a bite of that fruit. When Eve eats that fruit, nothing happens. But the moment Adam eats that fruit, everything around him changes. The plants develop thorns. The animals that were harmless are now harmful. That lion all of a sudden wants to bite your behind. You see all these different things that sin has now introduced. Why am I sharing this? Men and brothers, I challenge you today. God has called us as priests, Eddie, not only in our homes, but God has called us as priests in his house. When we neglect God's commands, when we neglect God's laws, we are setting our families to the side. We are leaving our families at a disadvantage. The reason we are having the problems that we have in community is because we as men have neglected our post. So then we are reminded that the earth was filled with wickedness. And because of wickedness, when you read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, because of wickedness, Jesus had to come and die for us. The bread reminds us that Christ bore our pain and our sickness. The bread reminds us that every bite that we take should remind us that we are healed and forgiven because his body was broken. What about the cup? What about the cup? Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. The Bible says, "This is my blood of which the new, or this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many
for the remission of sin. When you go back again in Genesis 3:21, in Genesis 3:21, the Bible tells us that the first blood was shed to cover Adam and Eve's shame. In Christ, His blood doesn't just cover our sins, but His blood removes our sins permanently. The cup reminds us of the new covenant, a promise of mercy, a promise of forgiveness, a promise of eternal life. Every sip that we have to take, we should be reminded that we are redeemed. We are things according, and we are victorious because His blood speaks better things according to Hebrews chapter 12 verse 24. So then what is this picture that we are looking at? The complete picture is that the foot washing is about how we live as individuals, and we need to be humble serving one another. The table, the bread and the cup, the wine, is about how we are saved through His body and His blood. Together, they declare humility before men, washing one another's feet. You look at also another aspect of faith in Christ's sacrifice. As we partake of the bread and as we drink of the wine, I want you to remember today that the Christian life is not just remembering the cross, but also reflecting Christ's character daily. So with a clean or with clean feet, we come to the table. With clean hearts, we eat bread. With cleansed souls, we drink the cup. And with full faith, we proclaim His death, we proclaim His resurrection, and we proclaim His second coming. Can somebody please say amen out there? Genesis chapter 14 verse 8 through 20. Notice what the Bible says. I'm almost done. The Bible then says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. You see, Abraham was surprised because as he was walking, he gets to pass this ancient city known as Shalem, later on to be called Jerusalem. And as he's walking, remember, he just came from what? A victory. He came from rescuing his nephew, Lot, right? Now, why was Lot in the problems that he was in, the problems that he found himself in, rather? Lot had pitched his tents closer to where? Sodom and Gomorrah. And eventually found his way in there. Church of God, it's important, the circle that we surround ourselves with. God says, run away from the counsel of the ungodly. And so as Abraham now is walking on this journey that he's on, he is tired. He is tired. He comes across Melchizedek. And as he comes across Melchizedek, he is surprised to find someone who does what? Who shares the same faith as he does. He is surprised to find someone who worships the same God he worships. Where am I going at with this? Many of us think that we are the only ones who are serving God. Let me bust your bubble today. God is not Seventh-day Adventist. God is not Baptist. God is not Presbyterian. God is God, and we cannot give Him labels. So he comes across this man, and he sees that this man welcomes him and sets up a great feast for him. But as he sets up a great feast for him, he also blesses him. And notice what Abraham does. Abraham gives Melchizedek what? A tenth of everything he has. God is already showing other way was later to come. Remember when you talk about the tithing system? And Melchizedek, by the way, was a what? Was a priest and a king at the same time. This is a foreshadow of one who was to come. So when we look at communion, and as we take part in communion today, my prayer is that at our encounter with Christ, we will be able to truly open our hearts up. My prayer is that even before, in fact, if you go back before Jesus was born, God gave us a picture of the Lord's Supper through Melchizedek. Not only that, but there are three main things that we noticed from this particular passage. God brings us to this table for refreshment. Somebody has been fighting this whole week. Somebody has been not only fighting for their life, but somebody has had a rough week dealing with pressures from work, dealing with pressures in community, dealing with children, dealing with rough relationships. Somebody has been going through a rough week, and I want to encourage you, you are in the right place because this is a table of refreshment. Abraham had just returned from battle. He was tired. He was worn out. He was vulnerable. Melchizedek, the king priest, met him with bread and wine. And I must say this, the wine that we are partaking of is not alcohol, church. I don't want somebody rushing out there saying, oh yeah, that's Seventh-day Adventist church. They gave me some Jack Daniels. They gave me some alcohol to drink. The wine was what? Unfermented grape juice. Because people often justify drinking wine by saying what? Jesus turned water into wine. That wine was unfermented grape juice. So Melchizedek welcomes Abraham to his table. And it is at this table, as we see in the book of Matthew chapter 11, 28, the Bible says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The bread and the wine are not ordinary, but they are spiritual nourishment for those who are weary. The table also is a table of remembrance. Melchizedek's table foreshadowed Jesus' table in the upper room. Jesus took bread and wine and said in the book of Luke chapter 22, this is my body and this is my blood. Communion calls us to remember the price of salvation. Communion calls us to remember the covenant that sealed that was sealed with his blood. Communion calls us to remember the love that was poured out on Calvary. We don't just look back, but we also look forward. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26. And then the very last point. If you can give me some music, my brother. The very last point. We notice that the table is a table of renewal. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, reminding him that the victory was from God and not himself. How many of us are fighting battles? How many of us keep getting L's, as the young people will call them, remembering that it's because you are fighting that battle yourself? What happened to remembering that the battle belongs to God? The reason why Abraham and his 318 servants who were trained had victory was because Abraham entrusted his fight with the Lord. But many of us, as Jesus is fighting for us, we want to show him how to fight. Where were you when he created the earth? Who are you to command our Lord and Savior such? So we see that at the Lord's table, we too receive a renewal. Is someone today tired? Is someone today tired from a long fight, from a long journey? I want to give you assurance. God says, come unto me, all of you who are what? Are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Blessings that come from the Most High come when we truly surrender to him. We want God's blessings. We want God's protections, but we don't want anything to do with him. We don't want to live a holy life, and yet we want God to move in ways that he has moved for many others. Friends, if you want to see God and experience him firsthand, it comes at one condition: surrender. It comes at a point where you have to open up your heart. If you look at Hebrews chapter 7, there is a connection between Melchizedek and Christ. Jesus is our eternal high priest. When we come to the table, we come under his blessings that never fade. When we come to the table, which is my prayer today, may we bring our burdens. Because when we bring our burdens, what do we find? We find refreshment. When we bring our memory, he gives us what? He gives us remembrance of the cross. When we bring our hearts, what does he do? He renews our hearts in Christ Jesus. This table is not just bread and wine. It's fellowship with Christ himself. I want to challenge you as I conclude, church. Abraham left Melchizedek's table blessed and strengthened. Are you tired today? Are you weary today? Today, as we partake of communion, may we leave this place refreshed. May we leave this place reminded. May we leave this place renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that we all come humbly, but not just humbly, because the same God who met Abraham through Melchizedek meets us today at the table. The same God who moved for Abraham back then is the same God who's fighting your battle for you today. Someone maybe needs that remembrance today. I want to remind you, blessed be God Most High, who has delivered our enemies into our hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.